Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
So we have an awesome opportunity to listen to, it's Bo, correct? Bo. So why don't you come on up here and give him a round of applause, and the kids are dismissed.
Did I get her turned on? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you heard, he said, my name's Bo, and this is my beautiful wife, Kathy. Our ministry is Morning Star Outfitters, outfitting people for Jesus. And it's good to see everybody. The building sure changed a bunch. It's kind of blue. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'd like, so the children aren't being dismissed, but I'd like to do something a little different. Let's just stretch our hands out toward them anyway, whether they're leaving the service or not, and just pray over our children. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord God, for the youth and all of them that are in this meeting. Father, they are our future. They're the future of this church. They're the future of this county, this town, this. They're the future of this United States. Father, and we ask and we just lift them up to you. And Father, that they be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That they'll be above average in everything that they do, and their schooling and everything, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring your Bible with you. Praise God. Yeah, that's been a lot of years ago, but yeah, we started what we called Elko Cowboy Church years ago, and we were meeting and we met in several different places, but when John and Kim took it over, we were meeting in the Shiloh, and we was running from 60 to 80 people, and the church needed a pastor, which I am not a pastor. Amen. I want that very clear. So if you need your nose wiped or anything else, you need to find somebody else. It ain't me. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? I'm just all some people have till one gets here. Amen. But yeah, John and Kim took it over, and hallelujah. But it's a different deal than what we started years ago. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalm 42. And I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. I don't know if I'm able to keep up with all this, but I have a lot of verses to go. But I'd like to tell you a little story. You know, when I was first born again, we was in a little cow camp called China Creek up on the mountain. And we'd come to Elko once a month. Corey Huffman used to have a Cowboy Church services. Rebel remembers them. And so we'd drive down to go to those services. Well, I wasn't raised in church, and I'd never been in church until we started going to those services. And when I started hanging around you church folks, You talk a little different than the rest of us, and it sounded to me like that God just sit down every morning on the edge of your bed and give you instructions for the day. Well, he wasn't doing that for me. In fact, I never heard his voice. I never heard anything. But when I got around the church people, you know, God said this and God said that, and God told me this, and I didn't understand it. But I wanted to hear his voice real bad. I wanted him to talk to me. When I give my life to him, I give it totally. And so one day I was going to put some salt out on the mountain and stuff, and I knew just exactly how long that would take. And the girls were going to town, which from China Creek, that was an all-day deal. So I told the Lord that, you know, you talk to Corey Huffman, you talk to everybody else. Why don't you talk to me? And as stupid as it sounds, I sat down in a little lounge chair that we had in the living room there, and I told the Lord that I had 1 hour. Amen. That if he didn't talk to me in that hour, that I was done. That I needed to hear his voice. I needed him to talk to me like he talked to everybody else. Amen. Amen. So I sat in that chair and I listened, and it was the longest hour I ever spent in my life. Had reminded me what time it was over 10 minutes or so, 5 minutes sometimes, but, you know, and I never heard a word. I never heard anything. And to be honest with you, I went about 10 minutes over that hour, just in case his watch was wrong or something. You know, I wanted to make sure I gave him plenty of time. But you know, he didn't speak to me. And it broke my heart. Amen. I was crushed because I thought I'd found something. And like I said, he talks to everybody else, but he wasn't going to talk to me. Well, I got up out of that chair, just totally brokenhearted. And I went out to the shop, and I started throwing salt blocks at the truck till I got enough in there to scatter around. And it just crushed me. I started out, it was just a two-track road, but I started crying so hard that I couldn't see the road. And like I said, it broke my heart. I truly wanted him to hear me. I wanted him to talk to me like he did everybody else. I didn't want to be different. And I finally had to stop the truck, and I just sat in that truck and I bawled like a little baby. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but you know you can only bawl so long, and when you've had enough of that, you know, you kind of dry up. And so I'm sitting there in the truck, and I had one of these little cowboy Bibles that I picked up at Cowboy Church on the dash of that truck. You know, something on the inside kept rolling on the inside and telling me to open my Bible. So lightning fast mind that I have and all, I thought, okay, God, if this is you, you got to relax. You've been there. Yeah. Amen. Exactly. So I sit there for a minute and I thought, Lord, I'm not going to open this Bible up and search around here to find something to make me feel better. I'm not going to do that. I thought, so I'm going to only open it one time. Amen. I thought, in fact, Lord, I'm only going to look on the right-hand side. Of course, the Bible's in columns. I said, in the inside column, in the middle. You guys are laughing because you've been there, right? So, I sit there, and to be honest, I was afraid to open it. But I finally got up the nerve, and I grabbed a hold of that Bible, and I just threw it open. I looked at that, and I put my eyes on these words. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Actually, the version that I was reading said that I will watch out over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule. I'm glad he used the term mule because I knew. Which has no understanding. Which must be harnessed with bit and bridle or else they will not come near you. I knew at that moment that God had spoken to me. Like I said, I'm glad he used the term mule instead of what I was really acting like. Amen. But I understood what he said. But why would I do something so foolish as to sit in that chair and demand that he speak to me? It was because I had no understanding, wasn't it? And I was being like a mule, or whatever you want to call it. Amen. Because I didn't understand. And it was because of not having that understanding that I was trying to put him to tests and stuff that wasn't realistic. But you know, through all that, he blessed me because he did speak to me. He spoke to me like he does most everybody else, through his word. Amen. Amen. Now, I have heard what I don't know if it was an audible voice or not, but it was audible to me. I don't know if anybody else could hear it, but I have had him speak to me. But first and foremost, he speaks to me through his word. Amen. Amen. You know, and it's from not understanding God's word that gets us in trouble. Amen. And most of the time we just hear things. Like I did there, you know, God said this and God said that. And I convinced myself that God just sat down at the foot of their bed every morning and said, Bo, this is what I need you to do. But he was not doing that for me. And so it was through that not understanding. So if you need a title for this message, that's it. No understanding will get you in trouble. Amen. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to know what He wants to speak to us. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. You brought your Bibles, didn't you?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. I got a lot of scripture I want to share. In Galatians chapter 5, I'd like to start reading in verse 16. You know, in these verses, we miss a lot of things because we don't understand these verses. We're trying to apply human logic and stuff to God's word. In Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh loves against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things which you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, there's one of the things we need to understand is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, and the term kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are interchangeable because it depends on which gospel you're reading out of. But the kingdom of God is not some place that we're going to get to someday.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
The kingdom of God, it says, is within us.
That's right.
The kingdom of God comes within our hearts when we ask Jesus to come into our heart, to take the reins of our life. That kingdom of God is a place here upon this earth that we can enter into in the midst of the rest of the world. In other words, the world system and God's system or God's kingdom are two different things. The world will tell you a penny saved is a penny earned, right? What does God's word say? Give and it'll be given unto you, right? See, totally opposite. You know, the world will tell you to tack the first dollar of your business on the wall so that the world can see your first dollar. What does the word say? Give me the first fruits and I'll bless, right?
Amen.
So when I see the dollar tacked up there, the first dollar of a business, I know that that business is not blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Amen? I mean, it could be blessed in the world system, but it doesn't have the blessing of God because they didn't give him the first fruits. Amen? Of all of their increase. That's another story, a rabbit trail, but I won't go down that. Well, we know all these things that I listed, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies. We know about those things. Most of us was raised in it. Amen or oh me, is that the truth or not? You guys are awful quiet. Am I in the right place here? See, we know about all those things, and they're pretty well easily explained, right? But it says that a person that does those things will not enter into the kingdom. In other words, that system here on this earth that is different than the world system. You know that God's kingdom is a good place. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. And it's these things that most of the time we misunderstand because of the world system. So I'd like to take them one at a time. Let's start with love. And if you got a little ribbon, put your ribbon here. And a piece of paper, keep your finger there, whatever, because we're going to keep coming back to Galatians 5, okay? But let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then we'll be coming back here. Because love, the Webster's Dictionary defines love as a feeling of strong or constant affection for a person. Attraction or a desire. That's what the Webster Dictionary defines love. But you know, the Word of God has a different definition for love. Amen. It says that God is love. Well, God is not desire. Is he? God is not a constant affection. Right? So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:1. And see what God's definition. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Well, the definition for that word love there, the God kind of love, the Greek word is agape. The definition for the agape is to see one another and treat one another as valuable and precious. Amen. That's unconditional love. In other words, that kind of love is not a feeling. The God kind of love is a decision. Say amen or oh me, right? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
So I know you can do that now, right? The God kind of love is a decision to see someone as valuable and precious. Amen. I don't know where I left off here, but and although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. In other words, if I do not have that decision, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not provoked, it thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We know that God is love. So the world's definition of love is totally different than God's. And if we don't have an understanding of the God kind of love, it will get us in trouble. Amen? Let's turn back to Galatians 5, because we want to look at the next one. Because it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is that decision to see people as valuable and precious. Amen. Amen. Amen? The next one is joy. Now, the Webster's Dictionary defines joy as a feeling of great happiness, success in doing or finding or getting something. That's the Webster's Dictionary. Let's see what the Word says. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Now we're coming back here, right? Everybody got that part? John chapter 15. In verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. God's about us bearing fruit, isn't he? So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, everybody say my joy.
My joy.
In other words, it's his joy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. See, there's a different definition. In other words, it's his joy, not ours. It's not happiness over receiving something. It's his joy. And it's by doing the commandments of God we receive his joy, that our joy will be full. Amen? Let's go back. So we see that joy is a totally different definition than the world's. Peace is the next one. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, in the Webster's Dictionary, it defines peace as the absence of conflict. Let's see what the Word says. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, it's whose peace?
Yes.
So it's not the absence of conflict, because when you have God's peace, you can have peace in the middle of conflict.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I once saw a deal on the internet or somewhere of a little bird in a nest, and the tree was about leaned over, looked like it was in the middle of a storm or hurricane or something. The tree was waving back and forth, and the birds were all tucked away in that nest. Total peace. See, we don't get that peace from not having conflict. God's peace is a peace in the middle of the conflict. Amen? So it's different. Turn back and look at the next one. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now the word in the Webster's Dictionary, long-suffering, means enduring or tolerating something. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Look at what the Word says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand.
Amen.
Long suffering is to stand up for something. In other words, how many of you have heard that song? If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything, or however it goes, right? In other words, we need to stand for the things that we believe in. Not endure hardships. Stand for what God's Word says about those hardships. Not to endure sickness. Stand on God's Word. By His stripes, I was healed. We need to stand. You know, when I think of, it says stand and stand therefore, I think of when I was a kid, for some reason I got in trouble more than most. Teacher would make me stand in the corner with my nose in a little circle most of the time. But you know, I'd always tell her, I might be standing on the outside, but I'm sitting on the inside. Amen. You know, sometimes we need to stand for something.
Amen.
We need to stand in the face of opposition.
Right.
We need to stand in the face of sickness. Disease,
absolutely,
hardships, because God's word, long suffering, means to stand for something. Amen? Let's go back to Galatians again. The next word there is kindness. Well, the definition, the Webster definition and God's definition is pretty much the same. It's the quality or state of being kind. You know, do unto others is, you know, you want them to do to you, right? Is that biblical? In other words, we need to be kind. So we won't go there on that one. Next one is goodness. Well, that kind of falls in line with kindness, doesn't it? In other words, we need to be good. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. We need that goodness.
Amen.
Goodness is the same in the world as it is in God's Word. We need to be good to people. Amen? Faithfulness. The Webster's Dictionary says having or showing true and constant support or loyalty to something. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we're talking about faithfulness. Verse 22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And that pretty much sums up the whole thing. Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's powerful, isn't it? In other words, how do you get that? Have faith in God. Not your ability. In God. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Him who? God, right? So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is.
Yeah.
Is what? God. The creator. The one that spoke everything into being. The universe. The world. It says that the world is framed by his words.
Amen.
We must believe that he is. Right?
Amen.
And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's a powerful statement, doesn't it? Now Mark 11 says, have faith in God. Some translation says, have the God kind of faith. That mountain moving faith. In other words, that belief that what God said, he's well able to perform. Amen?
Amen.
That if God said it, it's true.
Amen.
Amen. That's a profound statement, because a lot of people say that God's word's true, but as soon as they have something happen to them, they're running around thinking, well, I don't know what God's doing to me. Amen or oh me. We've all heard it, right? Well, God isn't. Who is? The devil. God's word says God is good all the time, right? Satan's bad. All the time. Right? So is that a hard thing to get a hold of? No. A lot of times we need to come back there. In other words, we happen to have faith in the Word of God. That's a good place to start. God is good. The enemy's bad. So when you're sick, is it God's fault? No. He didn't put it on you. You know, how dumb is that? You know, I was preaching in a denominational church, we'll put it that way. The pastor was up explaining that the ulcer that he had was from God. That God had given him that ulcer. He knew that because when he was in the hospital, he had never gotten so close to God as he was while he was in the hospital. So he knew that these ulcers had come from him. Well, I hung around him long enough to know that he ate Rolaids like they were candy. So if you had a gift from God and you knew it was from God, why would you try to get rid of it? Right? Does that make any kind of sense? Instead of eating Rolaids, he should have been down to Tex-Mex or whatever, eating jalapenos. It says, stir the gift that is within you. Right? Well, we think that's funny, don't we? But is that the truth or not? If God gives you a gift, that's something you need to stir up. That's something good for you. You don't want to be trying to get rid of it. Amen. Yeah. I don't know why I said that, but it's true anyhow. Amen. Faith is not only believing that He is the creator of all things, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In other words, if you seek Him out, He is always there.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn back to Galatians 5. The next one is gentleness. Now, the Webster's Dictionary says gentleness is mild of manner or disposition. Well, it's pretty much the same in the word. Amen? Isn't that what we're looking for when we're buying a horse, is that kind eye, isn't it? Right? In other words, you can look at that horse and think, yeah, I think I can get along with this guy all right. Right? What are we looking at? His disposition. That what we call a kind eye, right? Gentleness. The next one is self-control. Now these are fruit that we're supposed to be bearing fruit, right?
Amen.
Now in other words, the word says that in the parable of the sower, you know, he scattered this seed. It says the one that bears fruit is the seeds that are planted on good ground. These are the fruit. But we need to know what the fruit is. Because in the beginning of that, it says that the seed that was scattered on the wayside, immediately Satan come to snatch the word from their heart because they did not understand it. So if you're trying to get the fruit of the Spirit from the Webster's Dictionary, you've lost already, haven't you? You need to know what God's word says about each and every one of these things to have this fruit in your life. Self-control means control over your feelings or your actions. It's pretty much the same in the word. You know, we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. Is that right? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. I used to have 2 Corinthians in here. There we go. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We're talking about self-control, right? In other words, down to chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." You know, it's God's word that gives us the understanding of who the Father is. Who he is and what he wants of us. It's that understanding of God that draws us and others to him. Don't be like the horse or the mule who has no understanding. Amen? You can't hardly get any clearer than that, can we? Turn to Jeremiah. We walk by faith in his word and in him, not by our surroundings. Jeremiah verse 29 here, and verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You know, how many of you have ever started a colt? You know, when we take a colt to the round pen, the first thing, when you step out there and you pressure that colt just a little bit, don't you? So that it starts making a circle around that round pen. So you can get some movement. And you keep that pressure on, and that, you know, most of the time that colt's attention and everything is on the outside, isn't it? Looking where it come from, all the things it's missing, everything. But you know, after it makes a few laps around that round pen, pretty soon that colt looks to the inside. And that's when you can start working with him, isn't it? Because for the first time, that colt has figured out that something else is in control of his life. Amen. Amen? He's turned to the inside. That's when you can step in and turn him around. You can do something else with him. Start getting directions and stuff. But you know, there's some colts that'll go around and around and around for a long time before their lungs start burning enough to think, "Oh, you know, maybe I better figure out what's going on here," right? You're laughing because a lot of us have been there, right? And so that colt probably thinks, "Man, he's brought me in here to kill me," right? But see, that's not the truth, is it? The reason we put that colt in the round pen is because we've seen potential in that colt. We've seen something in that colt that we want to bring out. In other words, we see something in that colt that is good. And we want to draw those good things out of him. Amen? Isn't that right? In other words, we see this horse in the arena. We see this horse out roping calves. We see, in other words, we have the big picture, don't we? The colt still thinks we're trying to kill him. Amen? Let's read Jeremiah. Chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." In other words, God's the one with the big picture, isn't he?
Amen.
We have no idea what he has planned for us. We have no idea of the potential that he sees on the inside of each and every one of us. But he sees in you what you should be. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. You know, all God is asking of us is about the same thing we're asking of that colt in the round corral, is to just yield.
Come on.
Yeah. Just yield to me, and I will show you the things that I have planned for you.
Amen.
How many of us are still running laps in the round pen? Don't show your hands. Amen. It's the truth, isn't it? He's not trying to kill us. He's not trying to take things away from us. He's trying to bring a potential out in us that we can't see. Amen. He's trying to give us the good things. You know, you don't just take buckets of grain out to the colts that aren't even started out in the pasture. Well, some people might, but no, it's not till that horse is starting to yield to you and he's starting to yield enough that you're showing him things.
Amen.
To where you can put a halter on him and lead him into the barn. Then you reward him with good things.
Amen.
It's the same thing with us. Just yield. It's good. Isaiah chapter 55, you found it yet? Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For God's thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Where do we find God's thoughts? Right here, isn't it? Can we know God's thoughts for our life? We can, can't we? You know, he has good things planned for us. If we yield to him, we need to, for God's thoughts or the Holy Spirit's thoughts are not my thoughts. But they can be. Doesn't it say that we have the mind of Christ?
Amen.
We not only have it on the inside that speaks to us, but we have it right here. We have God's thoughts, God's plans, all of that right here in front of us. His thoughts, his word, should be our thoughts, our words. Amen?
Amen?
That's what'll change our lives, when we yield to those thoughts, when we yield to his words, when we yield to the plan that he has for our lives. Amen? For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. How would God's word return to him? Well, he sent it to us, didn't he? How would we return it to him? By reading it and speaking his word. It will not return to him void, but it will accomplish what he sent it. Amen? It's powerful, isn't it? For you shall go out with joy. How do we get joy? In keeping his word. And be led out with peace. In other words, that peace that can be in the middle of the storm. That peace in the middle of all opposition, his peace. For you shall go out with joy, you'll be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Wouldn't that be powerful? Glory to God. I truly believe that we're going to see those things in our day. God is starting to manifest himself in a mighty way.
Amen.
I think the days of sitting on the fence are over. God is pressuring people to make decisions, either to follow him or turn away. You don't see that sitting on the fence. It used to be kind of all right. I mean, it's never been all right. But society, a lot of people are sitting on the fence. But I think God is putting people into places now where you have to make a decision. Are you going to follow him or not? Are you going to believe what he says or not? Amen. There is a difference. We're talking what? About the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, of which there is no law. In other words, it's God's fruit that should be bearing in our lives. You know, God's word, we started out, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I'm here to tell you that he is here.
Amen.
He is near.
Amen.
You know, we always think he'll always be there. And he will for some. But you know, when the Lord was speaking to me to preach the gospel, I don't know how I knew, but I knew that it was the very last time that he was going to ask me. I don't know how I knew that. But I knew he'd been asking me for a long while. And of course, I was asking everybody else about it. Amen. I went around pretending that I didn't know what he was saying. Even sitting in a chair. You know, if you don't talk to me, buddy, I'm done. Now, is that a mule or not? Amen. But I couldn't tell you how I know, but I know it was the very last time he was going to ever ask me to follow him, to yield to his direction in my life. I was a buckaroo. What did I know about God or need to know? To who, me? Amen. I was in the one of the greatest cow camps you could possibly be in. You know, my family rode with me. Kathy was with me every day. You know, we didn't know it was time to go home until it got dark. I thought, oh, maybe we better head home, you know. Why? Because it was everything I wanted. We were together. I had a mate in the world system. But that isn't the plan that he had for my life. But it was the last time he was going to ask me. I don't think that I would have died early. I have no clue what would have happened if I hadn't answered the call. I wouldn't want to know. Be honest with you, I don't even want to imagine what my life would be like. But I can tell you this. I wouldn't trade one second of what I have today for what I thought I had when I was so cute.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just pray for a minute. Yeah. Those of you that have your prayer language, let's just pray in the Spirit for a minute and see what he'd have us to do. Father, we love you. We lift you up above all things, Father. We come here for your guidance, for your direction. Lord, we didn't come here for a flowery servant. We didn't come here for man's wisdom. We come here for your power and your ability to change our lives, to do something with us. Praise you, Lord. Now, if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, you do not have a relationship with Him, just lift your hand and just, but you would like to know my Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that has asked Jesus to come into their life, but you've just been riding the fence? You know His voice. You know He's speaking to you to do differently. You know that He's speaking to you to do something, but you haven't done it, but would like to make a declaration to Him today. Just raise your hands and acknowledge that you want something different. And those of you that have raised your hands, would you come forward? We'd like to pray with you that want to receive Jesus and praise you, Lord. Want more for your life? Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord? No? Would you? Would you like to pray with her, honey? You know, this little gal right here. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. She raised her hand to receive Jesus. You know, if I was to give you these, how would you get them? If I was to give these to you, how would you receive them? Just reach out and take them, wouldn't it? You know, it's the same thing with what you've come here to receive from Him. That you, it comes from God. Amen. Just lift your hands out to receive from Him. And these people will pray with you. Now those that have, where's the ones that, now you come, you want more. Amen. You want more. You want more. Hallelujah. Why don't you come over here? Praise you, Lord God. Just stretch your hands out toward them. We know that there is more. There's an abundance.
Come on. Come on.
Most of you know what God is speaking to you.
Yes.
You know what God has and wants you to do. There's something you need to step out boldly. He'll not put you in harm's way. You'll not regret one second of what He has for you. I think we'll just lay hands on each one and just start on this end. Father, praise you, Lord. Father, we just speak to you in the name of Jesus. That more, that anointing, that touch from you, Father, we just pray that now in Jesus' name that you'll know exactly what you're to do and when. In Jesus' name. Yes, hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. There is more. I have been talking to you. And you know, it's time you step out. It's time you step out in those things. That's why my word says, fear not. It's not your ability. It's mine.
Thank you, Father. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, just receive those things. The anointing that destroys the evil. Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Father. These ladies have come for more, and we can only get that more from you. Raise those things up. From healing, wholeness, mind, body, and soul. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just speak you now. Just give her insight in what you have for her. That she'll never be the same. From this commitment today, she's going on with you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You can't even imagine what I have for you. We are going places. Yield yourself to me. I will guide you. I will watch out over you. I will strengthen you. Yield to me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Step out with a boldness. That newness. The anointing is there. Step out in it. I am there. I will strengthen you. I will speak through you. I will sing through you. Jesus' name. Jesus. Peace. Hallelujah. Are you up here for more? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Father, your word says if you seek you, Father, they've come up here with a boldness in front of everybody to seek more of you, to have that abundance. That have that anointing that destroys the yoke of bondages. I will honor the boldness to step up here. There'll be a newness and a peace that you've never experienced. Yield to me and follow me. We're on the way, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Will anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. God is so awesome. You know, God has mighty, mighty things for us. It's time we start yielding to Him and step out in the... You know, I feel like for these that have stepped up here, you know, the gifts of the Spirit were given to us for a reason. And we need to start stepping out in the gifts of the Spirit. They're for everyday use, not just for a church service.
Correct.
Have any of you ever just known something that you don't know how you knew?
Yes.
That's the word of wisdom.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. Have you ever been someplace that you knew ahead of time that you were going there? You knew what it looked like when you got there?
Amen.
That's the word of knowledge. We've made these things too tough. We need to walk in those gifts. You have your prayer languages, all of you? Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit are for everyone. Not just the pastor. And God's church is where everybody comes with something. Amen. We get hindered in the books about the gifts of the Spirit because in those churches, everybody came with something. So they had to put controls on them. Let one or two at the most speak, right? Amen. We don't have that problem. Amen. It's time the church steps up to be the church it's supposed to be. Amen.
Amen.
Start walking in the gifts. The only way you can't steer a parked car. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, you're going to have to start moving. And he will guide you.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done.